Welcome, everybody, to the pre-ICANN53 policy update webinar. My name is David Olive, and I'm Vice President for Policy Development Support at ICANN and General Manager of the ICANN Regional Headquarters Hub in Istanbul, where I'm speaking to you today. The purpose of our webinar is to provide an update to you on policy and advisory developments and activities expected at ICANN53 in Buenos Aires. Members of the policy development support team will be presenting each update relating to the various community groups which they serve, and you may know many of them with your activities at ICANN and in policy development. This webinar will be recorded and transcribed. The link will be provided to you at the end of this presentation, so you can refer back to the information that we have given you. As for questions, please type them in the chat during the presentations, and we'll try to answer them in real time, or at the end, we'll unmute the phone so that you can ask your questions of us. In terms of the highlights for ICANN 53, I would just like to point out some of the days of interest. On Monday, of course, the welcoming session, and at that session, people who are going to be awarded the Ethos Award for our community service will be honored at that session. Also in that afternoon, the community leaders are having a session on high-interest topics. The topic is a framework of discussion for how best to use the proceeds from the new GTLD program. On Tuesday, of course, the stakeholders and constituencies are busy in their various meetings, and on that day they also meet with the Board of Directors. Wednesday is the council days, when many of the governing bodies of the groups have their formal meetings after many days of sessions in advance, and the GNSO, CCNSO, and others will be doing that. We'll also have a Lac Rallo showcase on that day. And Thursday, they'll have a session on the CEO succession process, the ICANN Public Forum, and then culminated by the ICANN Public Board meeting. The primary role of ICANN, of course, is to coordinate policy development relating to the global Internet system of unique identifiers. ICANN's open and transparent policy development mechanisms promote well-informed decisions based on expert advice from a diversity of views from all our stakeholders, like you here participating today on our call. The role of the policy development team, of course, is to assist you in this work, to support you with information and briefings and a webinar such as this, as we manage the process for providing policy or advisory recommendations to our Board of Directors. Volunteer policy working groups form around these issues, consider them from many angles, making decisions by consensus whenever possible. These working groups are open to everyone in the ICANN community, and all the discussions are documented so the public has a full access to the discussions and the debates. Of course, public comment is sought at several stages in the development process to let interested community members provide their views on policy proposals and to ensure that the policy recommendations reflect the concerns and perspectives of the broader Internet community. Of course, who does all this? These are the supporting organizations, the address support organization, the country code name supporting organization, and the generic name supporting organization begin the policy development process, and they are influenced by the advisory groups with their inputs and opinions, and these are, of course, the at-large advisory group, the governmental affairs, governmental advisory group, excuse me, the root server system advisory committee, and the security and stability advisory committee. All of these are, of course, part of our official process and volunteers in the ICANN activities. I would just like to point out that today was also a day for webinars, and there were two webinars held on the cross-committee working group on stewardship proposal, an update by the chairs. And I just would like to bring this to your attention. While they have taken place already, you can access their slides and the discussion at the information here on the slide. And that is also something that we'll be talking more about, obviously, in Buenos Aires, as the various support organizations and advisory committees give their opinions and talk about this important proposal. With that, I will turn it over to members of the policy team to give you briefings about the activities expected at ICANN 53. And for the first one, I'll turn it over to Marika Koenigs to talk about the generic name supporting organization. Marika, please.
Thank you very much, David. And hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. So my name is Marika Koenigs. I'm based in the ICANN office in Brussels, and I'm a senior policy director and team leader for the generic name supporting organization, also known as GNSO. So in addition to the work that's ongoing in relation to the IANA stewardship transition proposal, as David was just speaking about, as well as enhancing ICANN accountability, there are also a number of other projects that the GNSO is working on, including over 10 policy development processes, or PDPs, in the various stages of their work. As it's not possible to cover all of these projects in the time that we've allocated for this webinar, our contribution will focus on those efforts that have recently achieved an important milestone or for which decisions on next steps are expected to be considered during the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires. So for the first one of those, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Mary Wong. Mary?
Thank you, Marika. And hello, everybody. Welcome to our webinar. And as Marika says, we're going to focus on the milestones that some of our policy development processes and working groups have achieved. And the first concerns the Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues PDP Working Group. And I'm happy to see a couple of our working group members here who will no doubt keep me in line. But I'm happy also to report that we have reached a milestone, as you see the timeline here, that just a month ago, the group published its initial report after over 60 meetings, both via teleconference and in person, and published it for public comment, which will run through the ICANN Buenos Aires meeting and close on the 7th of July. As everyone knows, I think, public comment is a very important part of the ICANN multi-stakeholder model, and in the GNSO PDP, in particular, it does inform the working group's deliberations. And for this particular working group, because we are in the initial report phase, we will be required to review all public comments received in preparing the final report, and therefore certain recommendations may well be updated or modified as a result of community input. The aim is to present the GNSO Council with the final report before the Dublin meeting. After the Council takes a vote, assuming that is adopted, then it will make its way to the board for their review and adoption. So I do encourage you and your groups to take a look at the initial report and, if possible, provide us with public comment. This is particularly because this topic has been of longstanding concern in the ICANN community. The working group was actually chartered to develop policy recommendations on this topic because this was a topic that, although it was identified as a topic during the last round of negotiations for the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, this was not actually addressed in that set of negotiations and was considered suitable for a PDP by the ICANN board. In this particular case, the working group has reached a number of very key preliminary recommendations on this topic of longstanding concern. Before I go into some of those, I would just like to remind those who may not have followed the work of either the negotiations on the RAA, which is, of course, the contract that binds ICANN and all our accredited registrars, or indeed the work of this working group, that privacy and proxy service providers essentially provide a service where if you register a domain name, some or all of your contact details can be masked or hidden from what would otherwise be publicly available through the publicly accessible Whois GTLD directory. So these are some of the key preliminary recommendations, and rather than go into all of them, as David noted earlier, these slides will be made available to everyone, and of course, in our normal fashion, we have links on this slide deck to, in this case, the public comment forum, as well as the initial report itself. I'll just highlight a couple of the points on this slide in that the working group has made a number of recommendations that would apply to both privacy and proxy services, where there are some key differences in their functionality, but the working group believes that for purposes of accreditation, by and large, they can be treated more or less alike. In the area of contactability of a provider, this has been an issue that's been raised by some in the community as needing to be addressed. Similarly, on the other side, once you contact a provider, its responsiveness is important as well. And these two perspectives obviously would come into play if someone wanted to report abuse by a registrant or a holder of a domain name. So there's been a set of recommendations formed around these concerns as well. And the third and fourth points I have on this slide concern two issues that if you've been involved in the GNSO and ICANN for some time, you'll know that it's been under discussion for quite a while. And I'm pleased to report that the working group has made significant progress in proffering what it hopes is a uniform set of principles, including a uniform set of definitions for some of the terms that are used in this context. So, for example, when there's a request to a privacy or proxy service provider that its customer identity or the customer's contact details be revealed, the working group has tried to clarify what this means and has asked for certain terms to be particularly published in the terms of service to make it clear to both requesters as well as to customers what the consequences might be. Similarly, for Relay, there is now a set of uniform recommendations concerning at least the initial forwarding of communications that are received electronically by a service provider to its customer. The last point that I want to raise on this slide is really the last bullet point, and it goes back to the question of disclosure of a customer's identity. And for the first time, there's a proposal that there be a framework that documents step by step a process for a service provider to deal with the submission, the handling, and the response to a request for a disclosure, not from every single conceivable person or third party, but in this particular case, the framework is illustrative and is meant to apply to intellectual property rights holders, primarily trademark and copyright owners. And like I said, this is the first time that a framework like this has been unveiled, and one open question remains whether and how such a framework or these types of suggestions might be applicable to other requesters for customer identity and contact details. And on that note, it brings me to my next slide, where there are a number of open questions and issues on which the working group has yet to reach consensus. And as such, the working group would very much welcome your and your community's input. I've already noted one of them, which is the question of handling disclosure requests from different types of third parties. That's the last point on this slide. You'll see that the other two open issues, including the use of a privacy or proxy service when it is a domain name that's associated with certain types of commercial activity, and also while the working group has developed a set of recommendations, as I noted, for the initial forwarding or relaying of a request by a provider to its customer, it has yet to reach consensus on what might need to happen next if that request might need to be escalated. As I noted, there's some links here for further information, and I hope that you remember that the public comment period is open until the 7th of July. It might be useful to note that the working group will have a meeting and an open session in Buenos Aires where, as usual, remote participation facilities will be available. That's on Wednesday afternoon, local Argentina time. You may also wish to note that in this public comment forum, because the initial report is fairly lengthy and there is quite a long number of recommendations, the working group has developed a template so that if it will make it easier for you to respond in template form, that's also been included in the public comment forum. So on that note and on that milestone, I'm going to hand you off to my colleagues Julie Hedlund and Lars Hoffman, who will speak to you of a milestone reached by yet another of our PDP working groups. Julie?
Thank you so much, Mary, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is Julie Hedlund, and I'm going to talk briefly to you about the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information, PDP, and in particular, as Mary noted, this group is winding down and will shortly release its final report. And here you can see on the next slide the charter questions, and as you see, we are at the end of the timetable. The charter questions are whether it's desirable to translate or transliterate contact information into a single common language, and who should decide who should bear the burden transforming contact information to a single language. You'll note that we are now in June of 2015, and the working group is going to shortly publish its final report, which will then go to the GNSO Council for a vote. And in particular, I'll note that the working group is has come to consensus on the report and will be shortly sending it in time for council consideration in Buenos Aires. Just some arguments opposing mandatory transformation that you see here, and I won't go over all of them, but there are issues concerning accuracy and consistency, particularly in transforming scripts and languages. And also, if you do want accurate translation, that may need to be done manually. There is also the issue of the financial burden and the possible negative impact on less developed regions that do not use Latin script. And then the usability of transform data can be questionable. Some of the key recommendations in this final report, number one, that there should be no mandatory transformation. The working group recommends that it's not desirable to make transformation of contact information mandatory, and that any parties requiring transformation are free to do it ad hoc. There are recommendations concerning the new RDS and identification of script languages. Script and language in line with the EWG on internationalized registration data and the RDS's Registration Directory Service database, that these should be capable of receiving input in the form of non-Latin script contact information, and the requesting data should be able to determine which script language it was submitted in. And number three, that data should be able to be submitted in language script used by the registrar, and that the registrars would determine which languages and scripts they support, and any of those can be used by registrars to submit their data. This is important as the burden of data verification remains with the registrars in line with the RAA, additional WHO is information policy, and all relevant consensus policy. For more information, you see the links here on the slide, and the slides, as Mary noted, are also going to be available to all of you so that you can gather more information if you like. And at this point, I'd like to turn things over to my colleague Steve Chan, and he'll talk to you about new GTLD subsequent procedures discussion group. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. My name is Steve Chan. I am based in the Los Angeles hub office, and I'm going to talk to you about the new GTLD subsequent procedures discussion group. So what triggered the initiation of this group? With the 2012 round well on its way towards completion with application submission process, the evaluation process, and contention resolution largely complete, and with also over 600 TLDs already delegated, the community felt that the analysis and discussion and review of the 2012 round could and should begin immediately. So in June of 2014, the GNSO Council adopted a resolution to create the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Discussion Group, a group that is intended to discuss, debate, analyze the 2012 round, and identify issues or subjects for a possible future issue report, and then subsequently a future possible PDP, which could result in changes or adjustments for subsequent procedures. And lastly, for the slide, I just wanted to note that there was broad participation across the supporting organizations, advisory committees, stakeholder groups, constituencies, which is invaluable in allowing all these different groups to lend their respective and unique insights and experiences to the group. So the current status of this group, I'm happy to report that the discussion group has finalized its set of deliverables. The set of three deliverables includes, firstly, an executive summary, which provides some brief, a couple brief sections on both the background and current program status. But more importantly, it also has a narrative explaining the deliberations of the group. The second document takes the issues that were identified by the discussion group members, and it attempts to assign or associate those issues identified with principles, recommendations, or implementation guidance from the 2007 new GTLD final report. And that's where applicable, because in some cases they were unable to actually associate the issue with any of those groupings, which is actually a sign that possibly it's an area for new policy work. And so the reason for doing that mapping was to help determine whether the principles, recommendations, or implementation guidance may need to be amended or additional detail added to provide more clarity, to help determine if they were sufficient as written or possibly that they're even no longer relevant. Lastly, the discussion group prepared a draft charter, which is really to propose a minimum set of subjects or issues for further analysis in the issue report, and as well as during a possible PDP effort. And in addition to identifying the subjects, the discussion group also provided provisional groupings of the subjects that they logically felt could be grouped together and help to work them through the process. So in terms of next steps, these finalized deliverables will be submitted to the GNSO Council, along with a request for a single issue report, as well as a motion for the Council to be able to take action if they so choose. So the discussion group is recommending that a single issue report is the best path forward, utilizing the matrix and the draft charter that they've prepared as a basis for the issue report. But they realize and note that it's ultimately up to the GNSO Council to determine the best path forward. Finally, I just wanted to note that there is a face-to-face session in Buenos Aires. It's Wednesday, the 24 June, and it's from 11 to 12 local time. And there's also links to the online resources where these deliverables will. So they're actually already available on the wiki, but they will also be shared on the GNSO page as well. That's all I had, and I'm passing over to Marika to talk about policy and implementation. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Steve. And like Mary said, I also see that there are several members of this GNSO working group on the webinar, so I'm sure as well that they'll chime in or correct me if I'm getting out of line here. So I'll briefly give you an update on the status of the policy and implementation working group. I think as many of you know, there has been an increased focus over the last couple of years of how to deal with policy and implementation related questions, such as what happens if a policy issue is identified during the implementation phase, who decides whether something is policy or implementation, and do we actually have sufficiently clear processes in place to deal with these kind of questions. As a result of those conversations, the GNSO Council formed a working group to focus on a number of questions that specifically relate to policy and implementation in the context of the GNSO. The working group published its initial recommendations report for public comment in January of this year, and has since worked on reviewing those comments and finalizing its report, which was actually delivered to the GENESO Council for consideration earlier this month on the 2nd of June. In short, the working group is putting forward the following recommendations for GENESO Council consideration. In response to Charter Question 1, which asked for recommendations concerning a set of principles that would underpin any GENESO policy and implementation-related discussions, the working group is recommending adhering to the principles and requirements that they've developed and are outlined in Section 4 of the Final Recommendations Report. And these need to be respected when policy or implementation-related issues arise in the implementation phase. These principles cover both principles and requirements that apply to policy and implementation, those that primarily apply to policy, and also those that apply primarily to implementation. Furthermore, in addition to the only formal process that GENESO currently has, which is the policy development process, or PDP, the working group is also proposing three new standardized processes for GENESO deliberations, namely a GENESO input process, which is to be used for those instances for which the GENESO Council intends to provide non-binding advice, which is expected to typically concern topics that are not GTLD-specific, for which no policy recommendations have been developed to date. Non-binding advice in this context means advice that has no binding force on the party it's provided to. For example, such a process could be used to provide input on the ICANN strategic plan or recommendations from an accountability and transparency review team. Is the expectation that such input would be treated in a similar manner as public comments are currently considered today by the entity to which the input is being provided? Secondly, there is the GENESO guidance process, which is to be used in those instances for which a GENESO Council intends to provide guidance that is required to be considered by the ICANN board, but which is not expected to result in new contractual obligations for contracted parties, which are GTLD registries and GTLD registrars. Guidance developed through a GGP means advice that has a binding force on the ICANN board to consider the guidance, and it can only be rejected by the ICANN board by a vote of more than two-thirds of the board members, but only if the board then determines that such guidance is not in the best interest of the ICANN community or ICANN. It's the expectation that such a process would typically involve clarification of or advice on existing GTLD policy recommendations. This could, for example, be in response to specific requests from the ICANN board, but it could also be at the initiative of the GENESO Council to an issue that it has identified. For example, one could imagine that such a process could have been used in relation to the request from the ICANN board to provide input on the .dot brand registry agreement or specification 13, which occurred a while ago. Thirdly, the group is recommending a GENESO expedited policy development process. And that is to be used in those instances in which the GENESO Council intends to develop recommendations that would result in new contractual obligations for contracted parties that meet the criteria for consensus policy, but also the qualifying criteria that the group has identified to initiate such an expedited PDP, which, as in its name says, the idea is that it could be done in a shorter time frame than the traditional policy development process. Those qualifying criteria are, for one, that it needs to address a narrowly defined policy issue that was identified and scoped after either the adoption of the policy recommendations by the ICANN board or the implementation of such an adopted recommendation. Or two, it's to provide new or additional policy recommendations on a specific policy issue that has been substantially scoped previously, such that extensive background information already exists. For example, in those cases where there has already been an issue report for a policy development process, but the actual PDP was not initiated, or was part of a previous PDP that was not completed, or through other projects such as the previously mentioned GGP. So further details on each of these processes can be found in the final recommendations report. It is important to point out, though, that the working group was very clear that none of these new processes should be used to take a second bite at the apple. So only if circumstances have changed or new information is available should the Council consider using these processes for an issue that had already been dealt with on a previous occasion through a different kind of process. As a result of its deliberations on three implementation-related charter questions, the working group recommends that the policy development process manual, which outlines all the rules and processes around a PDP, that this be modified to require the creation of an implementation review team, which would consist of community members to guide and assist ICANN staff in the implementation of policy recommendations following the adoption of PDP recommendations by the ICANN board, but also to allow the GNSO Council the flexibility to not create such an IRT in exceptional circumstances. For example, if another IRT would already be in place that could deal with the PDP recommendations. It also recommends the adoption of the implementation review team principles as have been outlined in the final report, and that these are followed as part of the creation as well as the operation of implementation review teams. So what is next? The GNSO Council will now consider the final recommendations report for adoption during its meeting in Buenos Aires. Provided that the GNSO Council adopt these recommendations, it's the expectation that a public comment forum will be opened specifically for those recommendations that will require changes to the ICANN bylaws, such as some of the proposed new GNSO processes that I spoke about just before, which then will be followed by consideration by the ICANN board. And if you're interested to learn more about this effort, here are the links to the final recommendations report, as well as the link to the GNSO Council meeting that's taking place on Wednesday, the 24th of June, during which this issue will be further discussed. So in addition to the projects mentioned in the previous slides, we also wanted to briefly mention three other projects, two of which have meetings in Buenos Aires, and one for which you can expect a public comment forum to open shortly after the Buenos Aires meeting. So the first one is the IGO-INGO Access Security Rights Protection Mechanisms Policy Development Process, which is considering whether existing dispute resolution processes should be amended or whether a new process should be developed to address the specific needs and concerns that have been expressed by IGOs and INGOs. The working group is meeting in Buenos Aires on Wednesday, the 24th of June, from 10 to 11:30 local time, and the meeting is open for anyone interested to attend. The working group aims to deliver its initial report for public comment at the end of this year, or towards the end of this year. And secondly, the board recently reconfirmed its request for an issue report, which is the first step in a policy development process, on defining the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data and considering safeguards for protecting data, using the recommendations of the expert working group as an input to and, if deemed appropriate, as the foundation for a new GTLD policy. The preliminary issue report that is being prepared by ICANN staff is expected to be published for public comment shortly after the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires. Last but not least is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group. This working group has been tasked to establish a framework to informed fact-based policy development. The working group has now completed a draft data request guidelines, templates to support the framework, as well as a draft preliminary initial report, which it hopes to finalize and publish for public comment in Q3 of 2015. This working group is also meeting in Buenos Aires on Thursday, 25th of June from 7 to 8 in the morning local time, and also this meeting is open for anyone interested to attend and provide input to. For further information about the GNSO activities and to prepare yourselves for the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires, the GNSO team has put together a dedicated webpage which includes all the essential information that we recommend you review and read in preparation for your attendance, whether it's in person or remotely. So in addition to the GNSO projects we've spoken about, there are also a number of cross-community working groups in which several of the ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees participate. We mentioned earlier the cross-community working groups on the IANA stewardship transition, as well as the Enhancing ICANN Accountability cross-community working group. But we also briefly wanted to update you on two other cross-community working groups. And for that, I will hand it back to Lars.
Thank you very much, Marika. Together with Marika and Bart Boswinkel, we support the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names as top-level domains. This CWG was chartered by the CCNSO and the GNSO to establish harmonized frameworks for the use of country and territory names. And to just emphasize this one more time, the group does not concern itself with second or lower level domains, but only top level domains. The working group or cross-community working group has identified three broad issues around which to structure its work. Those are two-letter codes, three-letter codes, and full-length country and territory names. In addition, the group also realized that it would be very helpful to draft a list of definitions about key terms surrounding country and territory names, and it has proceeded to do so and has a first draft of that produced. There's also been substantial discussions in Singapore on two-letter codes, and the group will produce shortly after Buenos Aires a progress report. In addition, the group is trying to maintain close relations with the DAC working group on the protection of geographic names in the GTLD space to ensure that there is complementary policy development wherever possible. And as you can see here, the group is meeting face-to-face on Monday, the 22nd of June at 1 p.m. local time. And everybody is welcome to join and, in fact, encouraged to join the discussions. Thank you very much. And I'm passing it over to Mary, I believe.
Yes, you are, Lars. Thank you very much. And hello again, everybody. This is Mary. And together with Bart and Steve Chan, I support this next working group, which has rather affectionately come to be known amongst the community, as you see on this slide, as CWG Squared, because this is the CWG that has been tasked by the CCNSO and GNSO councils as a joint charter to develop a uniform framework of principles that can apply to future cross-community working groups. And I don't think I need to emphasize how increasingly reliant the ICANN community has come to be on CWGs, at least on issues of mutual interest. So the CCNSO and GNSO councils believe that it would be very helpful to have a uniform set of principles that could be used to govern their initiation, their chartering, their operation, closure, and like matters. The milestone for this group is that the Buenos Aires meeting, where the co-chairs, and we have one co-chair from the GNSO and one from the CCNSO, hope to have a draft framework for discussion with the community. So as such, the CWG Squared and its co-chairs, as well as, of course, the support staff, hope that you will be able to participate either remotely or in person at the Buenos Aires discussion on Wednesday, 24th June, because since this would affect almost all sectors and individuals across the whole of ICANN, it will be important to get the feedback before the draft is turned into a more finalized form. So that's it from this group for now. We'll see you in Buenos Aires, and I will now turn it over to Bart for the CCNSO update. Bart? Hi, everybody. This is Mary still, and Bart is on the call, but I think we're having some slight technical issues. I think
you
might be back
on
right now.
Thank you, Mary. I was already going off, but I forgot to unmute my telephone. So let me start again. So the focal, say, the core of the presentation is around the focal points of discussion at the CCNSO meeting days in Buenos Aires. The CCNSO will meet 2 days on Tuesday and Wednesday, ending in a CCNSO Council meeting on Wednesday afternoon. So the focal points are, as you might expect, on the CCNSO decision-making around the CWG proposal. In this presentation, I will go into a bit of alternative work undertaken by the CCNSO and CCNSO working groups, which will be discussed during these meetings, the two-day meetings as well. So, first of all, the decision-making around the CWG stewardship proposal. The CCNSO has some particular issues dealing with the proposal. It has to, first of all, as one of the chartering organizations, it is expected to take a decision in Buenos Aires around the proposal itself. But ultimately, the council is not the decision-making gremia or fora. It is the CCNSO membership and the CCTLD community itself. And what makes it more difficult in this case, and especially around the CWG proposal, it affects the full CCTLD community, so not just the CCNSO membership, but also those CCTLDs, which is approximately 90, which are not member of the CCNSO. A second issue, and that's of concern, and for those of you who have been following the discussions around the CWG, is potential overlap with the very limited policy scope of the CCNSO around delegation, redelegations, and retirement of CCTLDs. So effectively the policies around the IANA function itself. And then thirdly, but this is not uniquely for the CCNSO, but they have to deal with the relation and the interdependency with the discussions around the ICANN's accountability, so the accountability work. So in short, the CCNSO Council is very much dependent on the view of the CCTLD community at large in moving forward on the CWG proposal. So now, how is the discussion structured in this case? The CCNSO program working group is very aware of the importance of this topic, has scheduled over 5 hours for the CCNSO and the CCTLD community present and participating remotely to deal with and to and discuss the CWG proposal. And included, you will see a general overview of the different sessions. They'll start on Tuesday, continue on Wednesday morning, and then around, say, Wednesday afternoon, there will be a three-and-a-half-hour session to wrap it up and to have a in-depth discussion. And the CCNSO Council meeting is scheduled, in this case, not at normally at 5, but most likely will start at 5 and not at 4. So, as always, these meetings are open, so you're welcome, if you're interested, to attend that meeting as well. So that is around the major topic of discussion at the CCNSO meeting in Buenos Aires. Secondly, I want to touch upon the work of and the third phase of a working group, which is called the SEIKI working group. The reason for touching upon this is to show you that other work is ongoing. This is the third phase of a process to set up and engage the CCTLD community in a mechanism to deal with security incidents. As I said, it's the third phase. First of all, the first phase was right after the Configure incident, so that's quite some time ago, on defining what should be needed for such a secure security mechanism, The second phase was a working group that dealt with refining and setting up a very enhanced system, but unfortunately it became too costly based on say the requirements, etc. So it now turned out into the third phase, which is very operational and around the introduction of what is called a secure email list. And please note, this is not to be used as a classical email list, etc. It's more used to as a telephone book to enable ccTLD operators to easily and quickly look up each other's contact information in case of a security incident. It is, say, this time an email list is used, although not secured, but it is intended not to be used to exchange information, but rather that the subscribers can use the data to contact each other. Another mechanism, and this is the result of, say, the second phase, is that some ccTLDs, especially, do not have the capacity to join a more versatile and secure system. So the strength of the system will be to have as many ccTLDs join as possible. And as you can see, to date, 150 ccTLDs have joined the list already. That means subscribed to the list, and that includes 300 people from the different ccTLD operators. The email list is run by the CCNSO Secretariat on an OAuth platform, so you see there is a lot of collaboration with other communities as well. And the role of the CCNSO Secretariat is just handling the administration. The current working group members are responsible for designing and maintaining the procedures and overlooking the work of the Secretariat. And in the near future, there will be a suggestion to create another governance structure to close off the working group. So it's an example of other work which will come to closure at the BA meeting or soon after the BA meeting. For those of you who are interested in the topic, there is a link included as well. Just some other work of the CCNSO that will be high on the agenda, and that's what I've listed here is the work of the CCNSO Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group. This is one of the standing committees in the CCNSO, and which has provided input and feedback to ICANN's Strategic and Operational Plan since 2009, and this time it provided input on the draft fiscal year 16 operational plan and budget. And again, this will be a topic for discussion, not just at the CCNSO meeting, but the working group will meet with ICANN staff, and it is part of the exchange between the board and the CCNSO as well. And then another working group that I want to highlight is what is called the CCNSO Guideline and Review Committee. This working group is focusing on the internal guidelines of the CCNSO. The CCNSO has developed over time a whole set of rules and guidelines to manage its internal affairs. And the last one was, or the core of these, of this set was adopted in 2008. And as a result of the growth and the changing practices of the CCNSO, it was time to review them again in light of the growth of the CCNSO in particular, and of the changing practices, as I said to. What is worth to note is this is independent of the structural reviews of the CCNSO, which is scheduled in 1.5 to 2 years. Finally, some more background information on what is happening in the CCNSO. The meeting's agenda, as said, the CCNSO meeting is open for all. If you're interested in the topics of discussion, some background on the SOP and on the SACIA, so the Secure Incident Repository Working Group, and on the Guideline Review Committee. And now I want to hand over to my colleague Barbara Roseman.
Thank you. I'd like to discuss the address supporting organization. The ASO Address Council has 15 members, 3 from each region, and 1 person per region is elected each year. The regional policy forum of each RIR selects 2 of the members, and the executive board of each RIR appoints 1 person from its respective region. The most recent appointees have been Mark Elkins in the Afrinic region to replace Alan Barrett through his term of December 2015. Alan has recently taken the position of CEO of Afrinic. And Ricardo Patera in LACNIC was reappointed to serve through December 2018. The ASO treats global policy somewhat differently than the other constituencies and advisory committees. Their remit is that a global policy is one that the RIRs develop through their different regional policy fora, and only policies that affect the relationship between IANA and the RIRs are considered global policy. However, there are a number of areas of work that the different RIRs work on that are not global policy. And areas of local policy currently under discussion at the RIR meetings include IPv4 transfer policies, the loosening of qualifications for IPv6 allocations, and inter-registry transfers of IP address blocks. Ron De Silva was recently appointed to replace Ray Palczak on seat 9 of the board of directors beginning after ICANN 54. Ray is, chose not to sit for the reappointment again. And this is one of the responsibilities of the ASO Address Council to appoint the 2 seats that the ASO has on the board of directors. The ASO will be engaged in work sessions throughout the week in CRISP discussions, which are their participation in the CWG meetings, and meeting with the ICANN board of directors. They're also currently scheduled to have an ASOAC public meeting. This is their face-to-face annual meeting where all of the ASOAC members get together, and a workshop on Wednesday. The time of this is changing, but right now it's scheduled for 1530 to 1700, and we will publicize the new time and room when it's available. I'd like to pass this now to Carlos Reyes to talk about the Root Server System Advisory Committee. Carlos?
Thank you, Barb. As of last year, the RSEC has completed a restructuring process, and currently it is meeting monthly. There are 12 board-appointed root server operator representatives, 3 root zone management partner representatives from NTIA, IANA, and VeriSign, as well as 3 liaisons. The RSEC is currently co-chaired by Lars-Johan Lehmann from iRoot and Tripti Sinha from the University of Maryland, which operates DRoot. As part of its restructure, the RSEC established the caucus. The caucus consists of technical experts in the root server system. There are currently 61 of these experts, and 43% of them do not work for root server operators, thereby expanding some of the skills available within the RSEC caucus. The caucus held a successful kickoff meeting at IETF 92 in Dallas. This was earlier this year in March. And they are currently completing work on a report on root zone TTLs. That working group was established shortly after ICANN 52 in Singapore. So the work party has done incredible amounts of work in the past few months, and RSAC will soon consider their report. Future areas of study include whether or not to DNSX sign the root servers.net zone, and whether or not to move root servers.net to a new TLD. The caucus is also contributing to the process of creating a framework to track deployment of RSAC 002 statistics. RSAC 002 is a publication that basically establishes general measurements for the root server system, and that was approved last November. The caucus is an open group that has an application process, and interested parties are recommended to apply by submitting a statement of interest to rsec-membership@icann.org. At ICANN 53, the RSEC will have three work sessions. Like the other groups, they will be focusing on, obviously, the stewardship and accountability issues. They will also be discussing some of the future work items that I mentioned earlier and how to prioritize some of these items for the caucus. And they will also be planning their first RSEC workshop, which will be taking place later this year. As part of the RSEC's engagements with ICANN, they will be meeting with the SEC and the Board of Directors. For those of you who are interested in learning more about RSEC and its work, they will have a public session Wednesday, 24 June, in the afternoon, and they'll be providing updates on the implementation of their first two publications, as well as an overview of the draft advisory from the Root Zone TTL work party. And with that, I will introduce my colleague Steve Shang for an update from the Security and Stability Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Carlos. Since ICANN 52, the SEC has published two advisories, SEC 70 and SEC 71. I will provide a brief overview of SEC 70, and my colleague Julie will talk about SEC 71. So SEC 70 concerns about the growing use of public suffix lists. A public suffix is a domain under which multiple parties that are unaffiliated with the owner may register subdomains. So some examples provided here, for example, .org.co.uk, .k12.pa.us. As you can see, public suffix can be one label, two label, or three labels. There is really no programmatic way to determine this boundary. Yet tracking the boundary is critically important. Here, the SEC lists several key use cases for the public suffix. The first two concerning the security and stability, and it's really the original motivations for the public suffix. The next three on navigability, TLD validation, domain highlighting, is really an extension use of public suffix, but it critically impacts the acceptance of TLDs and domains. Let me highlight one for you. So, for example, all the major browsers use the public suffix to determine whether a domain name entered into a browser needs to conduct a DNS search or to be redirected to a search engine. If the public suffix, different browsers are using different versions, then a user may see inconsistent results. So here showing Google Chrome is using a more recent version of the public suffix can display a new TLD website properly, where Apple Safari was using an older version of the public suffix list, direct it to Google search. So that impacts the acceptance of the TLDs. Based on that, the SEC make a series of recommendations. These are in two broad categories. From the long term, the SEC recognize that public suffix is really a convenient compromise for the application developers. And going forward, it recommends the IETF to standardize PSL alternatives that are better, more robust, more secure. The second part of the SAC recommendation is recognizing that it takes some time for the IETF to develop a new specification and also for the implementers to adopt, while in the meantime, public suffixes are playing a more and more important role in applications. So the SAC calls ICANN to work with the Mozilla Foundation, the application development community, to address some of the immediate concerns. So that's all. Next, I'll hand this over to my colleague, Julie, to talk about SAC-71. Julie?
Thank you very much, Steve. This is Julie Hedlund, and I'll talk about SAC-71, the ESSEC comments on cross-community working group proposal on ICANN accountability enhancements. Very briefly, the comments relate to the ESSEC's role as defined in its charter. The ESSEC advises the ICANN community and board on matters relating to the security and integrity of the Internet's naming and address allocation systems. In its comments, the ESSEC notes that it is neither given nor sought any standing for its advice, other than that it should be evaluated on its merits and adopted or not according to that evaluation by the affected parties. The ESSEC also believes that this purely advisory role is the one to which it is best suited, and it asks the CCWG accountability to take this into account in its review of the options described in Section 512. And also, the ESSEC has some additional comments. It notes it does not have a comment at this time, pardon the background noise, at this time on whether or not a legal structure is required or desirable to compel ICANN and the board to respond to the ESSEC's advice. It is concerned about the way in which the proposed new SOAC membership model might affect the way in which the ESSEC operates. It expects that the community will adopt an organizational structure that recognizes the role and importance of high-quality expert advice on security and stability. And it notes the relatively short time available for consideration of the draft proposal and reserves the right to make additional comments as further details are developed. And then very quickly, the ESSEC activities at ICANN 53. There is the DNSSEC for Everybody session, a beginner's guide, the workshop on the 24th, the public meeting on the 25th, and also meetings with the community as you see here. And for more information, you can refer to the links that we provide on the slides. Thank you so much. And now I'll turn things over to Olaf Nordling and Julia Charvelin.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome, everyone. My name is Julia Chavelin. I am the GAC Services Coordinator, and I'm going to provide you with an update on the Governmental Advisory Committee, which is also abbreviated as the GAC. The GAC is comprised of governments and international governmental organizations, IGOs, and the GAC currently has 152 governments as members and 32 IGOs known as observers. During ICANN meetings, the GAC meets face-to-face, and in between ICANN meetings, the GAC works remotely. The purpose of the GAC is to provide advice to the ICANN board regarding public policy matters. The GAC will meet in Buenos Aires to discuss the progress of the INS stewardship transition and ICANN's accountability progress. The GAC is one of the chartering organizations for both the Cross-Community Working Group on Name and the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability. Both discussions will be held on Sunday. In Buenos Aires, the GAC will be discussing the remaining issues related to the new GTLD program, such as the protection of IGO names and acronyms, the implementation of GAC safeguard advice, and country and territory names as second-level domain names. Among the various public policy issues currently being discussed within ICANN, the GAC has established 4 new working groups. Firstly, the human rights and international law. The GAC has established a working group on this topic in order to develop a position paper on ICANN's respect for human rights and international law, as well as community efforts to organize discussions on this matter. This session will be held on Tuesday. Secondly, public safety. The GAC has established a working group on this topic to assess and seek to ensure that the domain name system, also known as DNS, and domain name registrations are not used to enhance unlawful activity, abuse, consumer fraud, and or violations of law. The working group will also be meeting on Tuesday. The Underserved Regions and Community Applications Working Groups are two new working groups, which were previously subgroups under the Future GTLD Working Group. Both have become independent working groups, similar to the Country and Territory Names Working Group, focusing on preparing for future rounds. All of the aforementioned working groups will be presenting their terms of reference to the GAC for endorsement. In addition, the GAC will also meet with the GNSO, the CCNSO, the ALAC, and the ICANN board during the Buenos Aires meeting. The times and locations of these meetings are posted to the ICANN public schedule. The GAC has also a number of internal matters to address in BA, specifically the implementation of the ATRT2 recommendation, which is being addressed by a number of working groups. The GAC will also begin to prepare for ICANN 54 in Dublin by opening nominations for vice chair candidates in Buenos Aires with the intent of holding elections in Dublin. The GAC will also begin preparations for the next high-level governmental meeting, which is scheduled to take place at ICANN 55 in Marrakesh. In Buenos Aires, the GAC will be meeting from Saturday to Thursday morning. All sessions are open with the exception of the communique drafting session, which is being held on Wednesday afternoon. You are very welcome to follow the GAC sessions in the meeting room San Telmo, and all sessions will be available in the 6 UN languages as well as Portuguese. And with that, I will hand it over to Heidi Ulrich to talk about the ALAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia, and hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm the Senior Director at Large. And today I'm joined by two of my teammates, Ariel Liang, at-large policy coordinator, and Sylvia Vivanco, manager at-large regional affairs. We are delighted to give you a brief update on the activities of the at-large advisory committee, the ALAC, and the at-large community, consisting of the 5 regional at-large organizations, or RALOs, and the 190 at-large structures that have taken place between ICANN meetings in Singapore and Buenos Aires. We will also provide a preview of at-large activities that are being planned for ICANN 53. So to begin, the ALAC main topics in Buenos Aires, there are two of them. The first one is the NTIA IANA function stewardship transition. Weekly calls of the at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the IANA function, or its transition working group for short, have been held since August 2014. Over 5 hours of at-large sessions on this topic are scheduled to take place at ICANN 53. The ALAC is generally supportive of the draft CWG proposal. The ALAC would prefer an IANA wholly integrated into ICANN, but it is willing to accept a compromise of a separate legal entity. The ALAC is additionally very concerned about the lack of multi-stakeholder oversight involvement and will offer guidance as to how this might be addressed. This main topic will be discussed during meetings of the ALAC and the Transition Working Group on Sunday and Tuesday. The second main topic for the ALAC is ICANN accountability and transparency. In general, the ALAC is supportive of the direction being taken by the CCWG. In its comments to the public comment, the ALAC provided guidance on a number of issues, some of which the CCWG explicitly was seeking, and others where the ALAC believes that reconsideration may be required. In particular, the ALAC has strong concerns about whether true enforceability of the proposed mechanisms is required and how the potential use of such enforceability will alter the spirit of the organization. This topic will also be discussed during meetings of ALAC and the Transition Working Group on Sunday and Tuesday. Moving to ALAC and at-large activities at ICANN 53, during the ICANN meetings in Buenos Aires, the at-large community will be holding 29 formal meetings. Most of these meetings will be interpreted into French, Spanish, and Portuguese. The at-large community will also be holding numerous informal meetings. For the meeting with the ICANN Board of Directors on Tuesday, between 8:30 and 9:30, the ALAC will raise questions on the topics of equitable access for all stakeholders. That question is focused on the ATRT2 recommendation 10.5, which states that the board must facilitate the equitable participation in applicable ICANN activities. Second, postponement of at-large review as an example of community accepting an overloaded agenda. And then thirdly, pick in category one TLDs as an example of useful discussion, informal discussion between ACSOs and the board. The AWAC will be meeting with the CCNSO, the GAC, the NCSG, and SAC leadership, as well as ICANN staff. Seven, at-large working groups will be meeting face-to-face to facilitate progress in both policy and process activities. And these are the at-large accessibility working group meeting on Sunday, the at-large technology task force meeting on Monday, the at-large ad hoc new meeting strategy working party meeting on Tuesday, the transition working group part one and part two meeting on Tuesday afternoon, the at-large capacity building working group meeting on Wednesday, and then the ICANN Academy Working Group meeting, and this is not exclusively an at-large working group, but a cross-community, informal cross-community working group. This will be meeting on Wednesday as well, and importantly, this ICANN 53 will mark the launch of the leadership training program, which will take place at ICANN 54, and to which all ACs and SOs may select incoming and current leaders to attend. At-large working groups provide the primary source of ALAC policy advice development and the ALAC policy statement. And for more on the policy statement that the ALAC has submitted between Singapore and Buenos Aires, I would like to hand the floor over to Ariel, who will provide an update on these statements. Ariel?
Thank you, Heidi. This is Ariel Liam, at-large policy coordinator. In addition to the ALAC policy advice statements on the CWG IANA second draft proposal and the CCWG accountability draft report that Heidi highlighted previously, the ALAC submitted four other policy advice statements in response to ICANN public comment requests since the end of ICANN 52. Now I will provide you a summary of these four ALAC statements. First, with regard to the potential change to registrar accreditation insurance requirement, the ALAC emphasizes that the commercial general liability insurance policy, shortened as CGL, is the most critical barrier for underserved regions to participate in the domain name industry. The ALAC proposes that I can eliminate the CGL and, as an alternative, reserves a fund provided by the registrars according to their transaction volumes for covering any harm caused by registrars, caused to registrants by the registrars wrongful by acts. Second, after reviewing the version 2 of maximum starting repertoire, shortened as MSR2, a deliverable under the procedure to develop and maintain label generation rules for the root zone with respect to ID and labels, the ALAC recommends that ICANN clarifies the likely impact of changes to the underlying Unicode standards to MSR2. In addition, the ALAC assures its support to ICANN's IDM program and welcomes joint activities that involve at-large structures in the relevant geographies. Third, the ALAC generally supports the proposed principles in the GNSO Policy and Implementation Initial Recommendation Report. The ALAC points out that when new or additional policy issues are introduced in the implementation process, resolution of those issues must involve all impacted stakeholders, not just the chartering organizations. Moreover, with regard to the proposed additional new GNSO processes, the ALAC suggests stress testing to better understand the effect of the changes. Lastly, the ALAC is satisfied with the ICANN draft FY16 operating plan and budget as a whole, but has one specific comment related to the support of ICANN policy department. Considering that multi-stakeholder policy development differentiates ICANN from any other organization, the ALAC is concerned that the overall budget allocated to the policy department and supporting SOs and ACs is about 10% of the total budget. More specifically, given the increase of activities related to the expansion of the at-large community, organizational reviews, and upcoming policy development processes, the ALAC calls for hiring additional full-time staff in the policy department to supporting both the ALAC and the GNSO in FY16. On Tuesday, 23rd of June, in ICANN 53, Buenos Aires, at-large members will meet with ICANN finance staff to have a follow-up discussion about the FY16 operating plan and budget advice. On that same day, at-large members in the GNSO Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues Working Group will also hold a presentation and discussion to help the wider community understand and engage in this policy development process. For more information about at-large policy advice, you may visit the correspondence page on the at-large website for adopted advice, or visit the at-large policy development wiki workspace to follow the ones under development. Over to you, Sylvia.
Thank you, Ariel. Hello, I am Sylvia Vivanco, Manager at Large Regional Affairs, and I will review the RALO meetings at ICANN 53. Reflecting the increased activities within the RALOs, all regions will hold their respective June monthly meetings face-to-face in Buenos Aires. AFRALO will hold the AFRALO African joint meeting on the theme African Views on the Proposal of the Governance of Internet Unique Identifiers on Wednesday, June 24th. APRALO will hold its monthly meeting on Wednesday, 24th. Among other issues, there will be a discussion on the progress and implementation of the APRALO APEC Hub pilot framework. URALO will hold its monthly meeting on Tuesday, 23rd. One of the main items of discussion will be the preparations for the General Assembly to be held at ICANN 54 in Dublin. LACRALO will hold its June meeting on Wednesday, 24th, and topics will include the IANA transition, capacity building, and a review of the LACRALO's internal procedures. Finally, NARALO will hold its monthly meeting on Monday, the 22nd of June, and the topics will include, among others, outreach engagement and a new NARALO newsletter. I will speak now about the cross-RALO meetings at ICANN. First, upon the invitation of Fadi Shehade, all five RALO chairs will participate in the community roundtable with ACSO, SG, and RALO chairs on Friday, 19th of June, before the start of ICANN 53. On Saturday, 20th of June, the RALOs will hold the RALO chairs meetings, co-chaired by LAC RALO and U RALO chairs. The inaugural meeting of this group has as its aim the leveraging of synergies between the global stakeholder engagement team and the at-large community in their work with civil society in the ICANN context. The focus will be a discussion on civil society engagement within ICANN, and we'll have Jean-Jacques Sahel, ICANN's ESC VP for Europe, as invited speaker. On Saturday, 20th June, the RALOs will also meet with the ALAC leadership team, the ALT, in the RALO chairs and ALT meeting to discuss issues of strategic importance for at-large. Finally, the five RALOs will hold the regional secretariat meeting on Wednesday, 24th. Among other issues, the results of the cross-RALO professional capability survey will be discussed. And now I would like to invite you to a very special event, the LACRALO Showcase 2015, Knowledge for Inclusion. LACRALO's event is scheduled for Wednesday, 24th of June at time 18:30 to 20:30 at the meeting room Golden Horn. This is a community celebration inviting the ICANN community to learn more about the achievements of LACRALO and the at-large community. The evening will showcase how LACRALO is engaging a diverse community of 47 LSs spread out in Latin America and the Caribbean in 16 countries. And approximately 20 LACRALO LSs will attend this event in person. So this will provide you an excellent opportunity to meet and greet LACRALO members and at-large community members. The speakers include ICANN's President and CEO, Fadi Shehade, ICANN's Board Chairman, Steve Crocker, ALAC's Chair, Alan Greenberg, GSCVP for Latin America and the Caribbean, Rodrigo de la Parra, LACRALO's Chair, Alberto Soto, and last Rallo's departing ALAC member, Fatima Cambronero. Please join us for a very special music and dance, tango dance and lesson performance by folkloric company Compañía Folclórica Popular. This event is co-sponsored by ICANN, LACNIC, and Google Argentina. Please join us to celebrate the achievements of the at-large community. Thank you, and over to you, Benedetta.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. My name is Benedetta Rossi, Community Engagement Support Coordinator. And with that, I would like to begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one and record your name clearly for the operator to be able to open your line. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one and record your name. Your name is really required to introduce your question. Thank you. While we wait for questions to come in, I'd like to turn to the next slide, which identifies questions that were submitted using the webinar's RSVP form. We received four questions, as you can see from the slide, and you can find them on the screen. For more information regarding Fadi Shahadi's resignation and regarding cyber threats, you may refer to the links provided on the slide. We also received a specific question regarding one of the GNSO working groups, and the question is, when will the recommendations made by the Policy and Implementation Working Group be implemented? In other words, how long will it take for ICANN's community to implement the GNSO guidance process and its followers? The answer provided by staff support for the Policy and Implementation Working Group is the next step is consideration of the recommendation by the GNSO Council in BA, and you may find the link to the recommendation. And after the GNSO Council consideration, there will be a public comment period prior to the board consideration, since these recommendations involve changes to the ICANN bylaws. And this will be followed by ICANN board consideration. Once adopted, the updating of the bylaws and GNSO operating procedures should not take very long, but it could take up to 6 months. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one and record your name clearly. Operator, do we have any questions? Alternatively, you may use the chat function in the AC room to submit a question if you'd like to address a question to the policy team. Okay, I'm told we do not have any questions on the audio. But if you have any questions following the webinar or any inquiries as to how to stay updated with the team, please use the team email address policy-staff@icann.org. You may also follow us on Twitter using the handles which are shown on the slide. The policy team also releases monthly updates, which are available in Arabic, Chinese, English, French, Russian, and Spanish. To sign up for these monthly updates, please follow the URL shown on the slide. If you're new to working groups or have already been participating in working groups but would like to brush up your basic or asking questions, you will definitely find the GNSO Working Group Newcomer Open House sessions useful. These sessions are community-led for new GNSO Working Group participants to come together and discuss questions they may have about working groups, procedures, or processes in a very informal setting. You're very, very welcome to participate in the next session, which is scheduled for Thursday, 25th of September, at 12 UTC. I will now turn it over to David Olive for his closing remarks. Thank you very much, and over to you, David.
Thank you, Benedetta. The policy team was pleased to be able to present to you some summaries of the activities coming up at ICANN 53 in Buenos Aires in the policy and advisory development area. We thank you for your participation. This slide tells you a little bit about the team. We're 27 members, subject matter experts, and support services in five time zones, nine countries, and with 15 language capabilities. To show you the level of activity at an ICANN meeting, as you well know, as you volunteer for many of the working groups or the sessions, the policy development team will be supporting over 160 sessions in Buenos Aires, showing the activity and the efforts of the community in various working groups, council meetings, subgroups, and discussion areas, both dealing with the transition and the accountability matters, but also regular topics that we've discussed here on the policy briefing. So with that, I would like to thank you for your time and attention. The transcript and slides can be accessed on this URL, and also to keep up on a regular basis, our monthly policy update is a convenient, quick guide, and I recommend it to all of you. With that, I would like to say there's a question here that Rudy has given. Are there a maximal level of working groups we can handle in ICANN? And I think Marika does provide that answer, Rudy. It really depends on the level of volunteer engagement and staff support to assist and help on that engagement. It really would be dependent upon the SOs and ACs. Some of them set certain limits in their workload and their annual work programs. And others really prioritize according to the issues that are coming at them or being addressed at a particular time. With that, I would like to again say thank you. We hope to see people who are traveling to ICANN 53 face-to-face. We will welcome you there as well. For those of you not doing that, but please participate remotely. There are active tools that allow that to happen, and we would also look forward to hearing from you and welcoming you in that format. With that, I would just like to wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, wherever you may be. Safe travels if you're going to Buenos Aires, and we hope to hear from you remotely as well. Thank you very much. Goodbye.